Praise the Lord. How many are ready to leave this natural body and go be with the Lord today? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I am ready to be with Him in His kingdom. But I'm on His timetable and not my own. Hallelujah. So I'm going to do the best I can till that day comes. Praise the Lord. Do you have your Bibles? All right. What am I going to be talking about today? Okay, that sounds good. Let's do that one. Thank you, Jesus. Actually, I'm not going to talk about only the Holy Spirit. You know what I want to talk about today? Life and blessings. Life and blessings. Because it's easy to focus on this natural life and what we're physically experiencing, but the truth of the matter is, that's not the real life. That's not the real life. If I held this Bible up over here, you can see there's a shadow there. This life is the shadow, according to the Bible. The temple was the shadow of the temple that was in heaven, right? But we still did sacrifices in that temple, didn't we? But it was the shadow. Right? Doesn't it say in Hebrews? This is the shadow. Okay? The real is in heaven. Right? This is the shadow. The real is in heaven. Doesn't it say we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Is that true? So we're actually there right now. It's kind of like that show, what's that thing called? Like the Matrix? You know, to where, you know, your physical no, your actual person is in one place, but the person that's living what you call life is another thing, okay? Listen, the world, this is who they are. This is who they are. And everything that they relate to themselves is in this flesh. It's in this natural body. Isn't that right? Okay, what makes the shadow work? Does the shadow have life of its own? No, the shadow does not have life of its own. If the thing that is in heaven is removed from the shadow, another thing, in other words, the thing that's in the light is removed, the shadow is no longer there, is it? The shadow can't exist without the real that's making the shadow. Right? Is that true? Okay. So, whatever's going on in the shadow has to be going on in the spiritual. It's the only way. I mean, the shadow can't move by itself. It can't. A puppet can't move by itself. A glove can't move by itself. It takes the life behind the inanimate object, right? So this body's animated by the real you. So I want us today to start talking from the real you to the real person in each other. Does that make sense? Okay, some of you aren't quite there yet. When we speak life and blessings, it's very simple, very easy to be looking at this flesh and blood person in front of me, and I'm trying to speak the life and the blessing to the flesh and blood person in front of me because I want to get some kind of a result in the flesh and blood person. We're not going to do that. Okay? We're not going to do that. We're going to only address the real. Okay? Not the shadow. Why do I want to do this? Many of our situations that we're living in is according to the flesh. It's not according to the spirit. It's according to the flesh. And many of the people that we relate to, we actually relate to them according to the flesh and not according to the spirit. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, around 15, 16, 17, that we no longer regard anyone according to the flesh. Doesn't it say that? Let's go look. Let's just look just to make sure I'm right. I've been known to make mistakes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Yes. Therefore, this is after we get born again, right? Being a new creation. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Because we know him according to the Spirit now, right? Don't you just love the Bible? I tell you, it's so easy to not do what it says, isn't it? And to justify that we're doing a good job in life, isn't it? It is so easy to not do what the Bible says and validate our position. And say, well, God loves me. God's a good God. But we're not doing what he said. Is this a suggestion? It's not a suggestion. So now we thus no longer. Were we doing it? Yes. But from now on, it don't cut no mustard. It doesn't work. I'm just letting you know. It doesn't work if you regard people according to the flesh. Why? Because the flesh profits nothing. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't do it. And if we get angry with people and get in disputes with them, it does nothing to cause righteousness. It doesn't work righteousness in people. It doesn't do it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. No, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Well, I guess I know what I'm talking about today. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Or we'll start in verse 1 just because it's there. Ready? Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Who's he talking to? We would call them Christians, right? Bible-believing, Jesus-believing, church-going Christians, right? Amen. Go to chapter 15. Is he talking to unbelievers? Is this letter to people that hate God or don't know God? It's to the people that go to church. Okay. Chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 34. I'm just going to go straight for the meat. So he's talking to these Christians. They're having issues about whether there's a resurrection, what do we do about baptism in the dead, and all these kinds of things, okay? How's it all work? And this is what he tells them. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now, I'm not speaking this to your guys' shame. I'm saying this. We have to awake to righteousness because we have the knowledge of God. Right? So righteousness is innocence before God. You've never sinned. You're just like Jesus. You're right there in the family. You're seated in heavenly places. There's no earthly problems in you. A righteous person is completely one with God. There's no drama. There's no disputes. There's between us and God, it's perfectly crystal clear. A perfection relationship. No hindrances of any kind. No impedance of any kind. We need to wake up to that's what we have. Did Jesus pay it all on the cross?
Yes.
Absolutely. Jesus paid it all. Right? So here's the dilemma. Sometimes we get stuck in the flesh and blood person speaking Bible verses and reading what the Bible says, but we don't do the work of God, don't do the will of God, okay? So we're going to do the work and the will of God. We're going to take some time and do it, which is no longer regarding any human being according to the flesh. Let me get this right. He's talking about just Spirit-filled Christians, right? And only Spirit-filled Christians' sins are forgiven, right? Right? God only loves Spirit-filled Christians, right? No. Oh, now I got you to say the right word. No is the answer to every one of those statements. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, according to John chapter 3. The whole world. Jesus died according to for their sins. The sins of the world has been paid, right? Therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm shaking a few cages right now. No, I take that back. You're not in cages. I'm rattling a few doors, praise God. You're in mansions, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Okay? Listen. It's easy to read this book and go back to our typical way of thinking and being. Okay, we're not going to do that today. So, we have to renew our minds. We have to cultivate a new way of thinking in us, which is that we speak life and blessing over everyone. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. This is what God's done for you. Are you with me? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Who has, that's a past tense phrase, blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Where? In the heavenly places in Christ. Stop. So these blessings are in the heavenly places, right? They're in the kingdom of God. They're in heaven, right? So he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. But Robert, they're in heaven, you know? But I'm here on the earth, you know? No, you're not. You're in heaven, seated in heavenly places, aren't you? So you don't even regard yourself according to the flesh. Oops. Is that even possible? Is that even possible to not regard my own self according to the flesh? Sin dwells where? In the flesh, according to Romans chapter 7. Right? Who owns this body? Oh, yeah, some people are afraid. She's sitting there looking at, well, I don't even really think I want to answer because I don't really know right now. I thought I knew when I walked in the room, but I don't know right now. Who owns this body? God redeemed it according to 1 Corinthians. Yes, God redeemed this body. He paid for it through the blood of Jesus Christ. And now this body belongs to who? Who dwells in this body? It's his temple. God, right? So this body belongs to God. Where am I at? Seated in heavenly places. So who's possessor? Who owns this? I'm telling you, it's easy to read the Bible and not believe it. You'll speak the words and deceive yourself that you're growing. Not you. I read this and deceive myself not doing what it says. Okay? We're going to do what it says. We're going to think like the Bible thinks here. Because here's the problem. We think that we deal with things according to the flesh. That's where our solution is at. It's not. If I stand like this, I need to get a shadow. If I stand like this, There's a light shadow here. The lights are really good. Oh, there's one behind me. If I stand like this, let's see my shadow move without me moving. Let's see my shadow get healed without me moving. Let's see my shadow get richer without me moving. Let's see my shadow have better relationships without me moving. It's dead. It's absolutely dead. It profits nothing whatsoever. Okay? We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual blessing we have is to the real me seated in heaven. I don't need the spiritual blessing on the earth because I'm seated in heaven. That's why we have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, because that's where we are. But if we aren't where the blessings are, they won't manifest in the flesh. Too many people are in the flesh, separated from God, approaching God from a flesh point of view because their flesh has the issues. And so they're dealing with themselves according to the flesh, and they're coming to God according to the flesh. But the flesh profits nothing. Flesh and blood can't enter the kingdom of God. You're seated in heavenly places. I know this is freaking you out. It's okay. It's okay. It'll work. This will work. Okay? I have proven it over and over and over again in my own life, and I'm thoroughly convinced that if we estimate and regard others according to the Spirit, we will get the results that Jesus got. He walked on the earth while he was in heaven. John chapter 3. He walked on the earth, but he existed from the place of heaven when he was in dialogue with everybody. That's why when they asked him questions, it seemed like he answered them out of left field, because he was answering them according to heaven. Okay, but they're thinking according to earth. And so that's why it seemed like he wasn't even attached to the conversation. Okay, and that's why Peter got rebuked. Because Peter looked at Jesus according to the flesh. Okay? So, I don't want to belabor this point. Yes, I do. Hallelujah. I want to get it in good. I want to get it in really, really good. Here's why I'm sharing this with you. I counsel with people, and they ask me how to solve the problem, and I tell them how to solve the problem. This will work. And they leave me and don't do it. They leave me and they don't do it. And they'll come back at the next appointment and say that life got in the way. And they'll give me excuses why they didn't do it. Here's the thing. The natural man is at war with the spiritual man. Okay? Jesus, when he was at the Gethsemane, right? He just asked those boys to pray with him for 1 hour. That's all. They fell asleep. He went back, woke them up, and asked them to keep praying. This is a hard thing on me. I need your backup. This is a really hard thing. Because he knew he was about to go be crucified. So he left them, went over on the side a little bit, and started praying. Because everybody, you know, when you're going to cry your guts out and stuff, you kind of want to be alone a little bit with God. He did the same thing. They fell back asleep again. Even after he came back, he said, I really need your help. Why did he say, what did he say after that? He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So if we try to do this in the flesh, your mind will start drifting. Your body will get tired, sleepy. You want to hear a secret? This is a secret only preachers know. I'm going to tell you a secret that only preachers know. Are you ready? Now listen to me. None of you, everybody practice this. Do a stone face. Do that like a poker face, a stone face, okay? Because I don't want you to react, because you'll give it away that that might be you, okay? So practice your poker face. Ready? When preachers are preaching and they start talking about deeper spiritual things, the people that fall asleep in the congregation are listening according to the flesh. They aren't tied into the spirit, and their flesh cannot comprehend the things of God, and they end up getting tired and sleepy and doze off in the congregation. I've got to tell you something. I practice it all the time on you guys. And I see people falling asleep. I'm going too deep on them right now. They can't handle it. It's too much light. They can't take this much light right now. And so then there'll be some people that are just, eating it up. Yeah, hallelujah, they're charged up. Because why? They're growing in the spirit, man. They want more. This is food. This is life. This is really, really good. And they're all, this is great. Two people over. Nope. And they'll give all kinds of excuses. Oh, long night last night. Oh, this, oh, that. Guess what it is? Flesh. Flesh. They're not awake in the spirit. Okay? So what happens is we have to practice being spiritual. We have to practice it. You have to build up your spiritual muscle. Okay? You have to actually build it up. Otherwise, you'll fall asleep. Your mind will wander. Things will come up that are important. You have to practice doing this. Speaking life and blessing. Okay? So, let's go to a verse. Go to 1 Peter 3:9. 1 Peter 3:9. Isn't this exciting stuff? It really is, because it's super easy to drift off to being inside of your natural body from a carnal, earthly, fleshly point of view, confessing that you're spiritual, born again, and you're going to be in heaven, but you're actually living in the flesh. Okay? So what we have to learn how to do, and I got to tell you, it doesn't come easy. It comes through discipline and determination. Okay? What is a disciple? A student, a disciplined learner. A disciplined learner, not a casual listener. It's not a casual listener. And I promise you, when you come across something that you consider it's important and you need to get it, you need to have it, you need to have the information, you need to get the results, whatever it is, and it's important, it's amazing how you hone your attention in, you remove distractions and interruptions, and you get yourself focused and learn how to laser beam onto whatever it is you need the results in. When it's important to you personally, forget everybody else because you're about to tune them out because you need this. Okay? It's the same way in the spiritual realm. Too many people take a casual point of view, or they put the importance onto Jesus or onto the Holy Spirit or onto God the Father rather than taking responsibility themselves. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a joint work with the Holy Spirit, but we still have to do our part. He's teaching us how to walk and live godly. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit doesn't do it for us. He's teaching us how to do it. My teacher in school never did my homework. My teacher in school never picked me up and brought me to school in the morning to make sure I was there on time. My teacher didn't go out and buy lunch and feed me every day. My teacher taught me how to do it. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit is here to comfort you, to encourage you, to teach you, and to tell you the things you don't know yet so you can figure out how to do it. Are you with me? It's a real relationship with a real teacher who has purchased this body to operate from. Ready? So, the Holy Spirit's on the earth in this body. Right? So he operates in the body. He's not in heaven. You are. You are. Doesn't make sense, does it? Okay, prove to me the Holy Spirit's in your body. As much as you can show me the Holy Spirit in your body, I can show you you in heaven. Is it by faith? Part of it is. Let me just tell you how this works real quick. It's by faith with no proof that it's true whatsoever in the beginning. Okay? In the beginning, you just do what your mom and dad says with no ability to understand why you're doing what you're doing. Okay? You just do it because they're the authorities, they're with you, you don't know anything else except to obey your parents. Because when you don't, it doesn't go well with you. So you kind of figure out quickly, you need to follow along, and they teach you, don't they? They literally overrule you in some areas and teach you, right? Because you can't understand why you're doing, why you need to. But then, after you get a little older, you can start kind of figuring it out. You can start seeing it coming before it gets to you, right? Because you're starting to work with your parents now. You know their mind and how they operate, okay? And then pretty soon, you got it. You understand the mentality of your household. In your house, this is how it's done, okay? Maybe in your friend's house, they do it a different way. But in your house, I tell you, my loving father always said it this way, as long as you live under my roof, my rules. Right? Whose roof is this? It's the Holy Spirit's roof. This is his temple. If I be messing with his temple, I have wrath to pay, it says. If I destroy this temple, I'm in big trouble with God. This is his property now. You're seated in heavenly places. You're in Christ Jesus. But that doesn't mean that you're not blind and deaf, that you can't see yourself in heaven yet. You can't hear heavenly things yet. You're not conscious of it. You're asleep. Not you guys. You other people that can hear me out there. You guys get great teaching here if you apply it. Okay? So I just want to help you. So now we no longer regard anyone according to the flesh. We have to practice that, you guys. Every person on the planet's sins have been forgiven. Everyone. Everyone that will ever be born, everyone that's ever been born, everyone's sins are forgiven. That's what the Bible says, okay? Not everyone is reconciled back to God, though. God has forgiven the world, but the world has not accepted God's side of the equation. When you have a peace treaty, both sides have to come into an agreement, right? Okay, there's a difference between being forgiven and being reconciled. Do you guys know the difference? The difference between forgiven and reconciled, here's the difference. You don't need a second party to forgive them. I can forgive this incorrigible young man right here in front of me. And I don't need him to respond. I don't need him to accept it. I choose to release him from any offense that I have held in my heart. I choose to release him of any debt I feel he owes me because he did me wrong. I choose to release him from anything that my conscience would be quickened to keep me out of the presence of God. I choose to release him. Now, whether he chooses to accept that he's been released, that's up to him. If he actually believes I've forgiven him, that's up to him. His conscience, whether his conscience is clear now or not, that's up to him. He can choose to accept that forgiveness or not. Okay? Being the debt is paid, he can accept it or not. That's forgiveness. You can choose whether you believe that your sins have been paid for and it's no longer held against you no matter what you do or not. You can choose. It's forgiveness. Okay? The debt's paid. Whether you want to feel guilty that it's not paid or not, it is still paid. Okay? So that's why we don't regard anyone according to the flesh. Because the debt was paid in the flesh so that you can walk in the Spirit. So that you can live in the Spirit. So that you can operate from the Spirit. Okay? Reconciliation. Reconciliation is, I forgave you. If there's an offense, you can receive my forgiveness. I did you wrong in your eyes, so you release me, I release you. We're both released. Okay? And since we're both released, we come into an agreement that there's no more offense between us, and our relationship is restored. Like as if there was never a problem. We both forget it. We both never rehearse it again. We never bring it up. It's gone because we just reconciled. Okay? It doesn't exist. Okay? To God, you've never made a mistake. To God, when you say, oh, Lord, he goes, what are you talking about? Okay? If you're living according to the flesh, you're going to have condemnation. It's going to walk with you. It's going to talk with you. It's going to bother you. You're going to feel inadequate. You're going to be feel separated from God. You're going to feel like he's not with you. You're going to feel like it works for other people, but not for me. God's blessing's on them, but why is he withholding it from me? Because the heavenly blessings are in the Spirit. They're not in the flesh. And they're laying hold of it according to the Spirit. You might not be. Okay? Is this too much for you? Because we're going to speak life and blessing. But it's my responsibility to convince you and to share with you the information so that you can see it from God's point of view. The word glory, it does mean radiant splendor. It really does. Light shining and beaming forth from you. It does mean that. The glory of God does have an actual presence of life and of light and of a radiant splendor. But you know what glory actually means? Plus that, which actually causes that, is God's point of view. The word doxa is his point of view. His point of view. Not earthly looking up at him, it's his opinion. His point of view. When you get his opinion of you and his point of view, his radiant splendor will manifest in his temple, which is your flesh. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? So now, if your consciousness is only in the flesh, how can you expect his glory to radiate in his temple? It can't. And many people are short-circuited in their faith because they approach God from a human, fleshly, disconnected, under condemnation point of view. So we're going to practice speaking life and blessing. Did you go to 1 Peter? There's a few scriptures that are really awesome. It's up there. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that what? You were called to this, so that you may what? Inherit a blessing. You were called by God to bless. You were called by God, according to 2 Thessalonians, I have to look, to obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're called by God. Remember in 2 Corinthians where it says, down at the end in chapter 8, verse 18, go to that. Go to 3 Corinthians 3:18. Just want to show you a few things. Do 3:18 and then do 14, 1 and 2. In your Bibles, let's look in your Bibles because I just made it harder on her. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know what? God is good. Jesus is Lord. And we're seated in heavenly places. 1 Corinthians, you got it? 2 Corinthians, I mean chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We were just there. I don't know why I left it. Because we just talked about chapter 5, didn't we? Are you with me? Verse 18. But we all, how many of us?
All of us.
But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Stop. What? But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding, in other words, like looking in the mirror, we see on us the glory of the Lord. Let's look at this. But we all, with unveiled faces, with our blinders taken off. Moses had the cloth, right? And they took, we don't have the cloth. We have unveiled faces, right? But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. You and me, with open faces, looking in the mirror, see the glory of the Lord. Are being transformed into the same image as Him. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That word by is the word apo, it means off of, from. You and I, by being with the Holy Spirit, fellowshipping with Jesus and the Father, their glory is our glory. Right? Doesn't it say in 1 John that, you know, when He appears, we don't really know what we're going to look like, but we know this one thing, that when we see Him, we'll be as He is. Because we see Him, we'll see us. Because we see Him, we see us. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. His glory is on us. How He is how I am. Right? He's love, I'm love. He's blessing, I'm blessing. He's life, I'm life. It all comes to me by His Spirit. So I have to associate myself from the Spirit. I'm one with Him in the Spirit. You are too. Are you with me? Okay? All right. Some of you are starting to doze off now. Stand up. Let's do 5 laps in Jesus' name. Be careful, I might be serious. Okay. I'm going to do it with you. You can follow after me. I'll make it up as I go. Then we're going to break up and we're going to do it for each other. Okay? And I just want you to speak faith over each other from heaven's point of view. Speak to the heavenly person. First person, present tense. You are. You have. Okay? Not this. Don't do this. Do not do this. I believe the Lord would have me say to you. We're not going to do that today. Okay? We're not going to do that. We're going to say, you are. You have. Okay? We're going to do that. So now we're going to do the I am and you are's to him. Okay? Because it says that we need to bless the Lord and magnify what? His name. So we need to bless the Lord and magnify his name. And he's given us every spiritual blessings. And we're called to bless one another, right? So I've set the stage on what position we're coming from. So we'll say this. Let's just clap our hands and give glory to the Lord for a minute. Father, we just love you. We just praise your holy name. We give all praise to you, Lord. We give all acknowledgement to you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for what you've done for us. Glory be to you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, by faith, we are going to speak from the Spirit, by the Spirit, to one another and to you, Lord. And I just give you all the praise. Father, I thank you. I am seated in heavenly places. Your Holy Spirit dwells with me. This body is the temple of God, anointed by God. Renovated by God. This is his home. And Lord, you moved me into yours. I seat in Christ Jesus in heavenly places, in your throne, this very minute. Lord, I take your point of view. I see things from your perspective. I align my life with your life. Holy Spirit, instruct me. Speak to me. Show me. Lead me. I am a son of God. I am the bride of Christ. We will forever be one. What is yours is mine. What is mine is yours. We are one. So Lord, by faith, I speak as you speak. I say your words because they're my words. Because they're your words. Because they're my words. And they're true. So in the name of Jesus, I bless you, Lord. I bless you with my life, with my love, with my adoration, with my thanksgiving, with my praise, and with your attitude of life and freedom, with the resurrection power of your Spirit. And Lord, I see these people around me the same way I see you. Full of hope, full of glory, seated with you in heavenly places. For you who are with us is greater than the one that is in this world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Did I address the devil?
No.
No. Why? He has nothing to do with it. He deals with the flesh. He doesn't deal with my spiritual man. He's not in heaven with me. He got kicked out of heaven. Jesus saw him fall like lightning. He's not there no more. Okay? He can lick the dust. This made of dust. Your light. Your life. You're the glory of God. Be sons and daughters of light. Be the life of God. Amen? And when you are, heal people. Forgive them in the name of Jesus. You release them from your own heart as seeing them as a dirty, no good scoundrel. You're not allowed to see them as incorrigible anymore. You see them as a son or daughter of God. Amen? You can take it. That's the only reason I... He started something. All right? So this is what I want to do. I want to take the last 5 minutes, and I want you to walk around and speak life into one another. Ready? And it's simply, you are, you have, I see this in you. And you pull from the flesh the spirit identity. Amen? The Bible says, I think it's in Jeremiah, that we separate the precious from the vile. Amen? Let's speak to the precious in one another. All right? Take 5 minutes and let's do that. If you need prayer for something, have that person speak life in that area.